You have some debates coming up. How vigorously are you preparing for these debates with Democrat Fred Hubble?
Well, I get a lot of practice because, you know, I do press conferences and meet with media all the time, and I travel all across the state. So I believe we have a great story to tell, and I'm looking forward to having that conversation with Iowans to talk about how we are the number one state in the country and how we got there. And it has a lot to do with our people, our work ethic, our values, and Iowans and businesses who are making a difference in communities all across the state. So I'm anxious to talk about some of the things we've done in the last couple of legislative sessions, but what I'm excited about working on moving forward.
And as far as priorities in the 2019 legislative session, should you be elected to your first full term, what are your priorities?
Well, we're going to continue to grow the economy, and we're seeing great growth right now. We want to make sure that that's happening in every single corner of the state. We're going to be investing in Iowans with workforce training because we have jobs looking for people right now, and what an amazing opportunity that is for Iowans all across the state. And so with Future Ready Iowa, we'll be putting the money into that so we can actually implement it. We've put the infrastructure in place this year, and we are rocking and rolling and ready to go with 18 summits all across the state. So the momentum is good, and I'm really looking forward to helping Iowans get the skills to have a great job and to have that job here in Iowa. We're going to continue to invest in our greatest asset, our children. You know, I'm a mom and a grandmother of soon-to-be 10 grandchildren and a mom of a teacher. And so I know how critically important it is that we invest in education, and we're preparing our students for the innovative digital age that we live in today, and we're going to continue to invest in children. The other thing we'll do is I'm really want to invest in an integrated, sustainable healthcare system, and we've made a lot of good progress, but we've got a lot of work to do. Proud of what we did with mental health, comprehensive mental health care reform, unanimously passed in the legislature. We had several initiatives that did that, and then the children's executive order that I passed.
As far as education leaders have said that K through 12 spending is not keeping up with inflation. Do you feel that Iowa is doing an adequate job of funding K through 12 schools?
Well, I'm proud of my historic investment in K-12 education. We're fourth highest in the country. There are only three other states in America that have invested at a higher rate in K-12 education than Iowa. We're eighth in teacher salaries, $765 million of new money since 2011. In addition to that, it's about 46% of our budget, so $3.2 billion going into K-12 education. And we have a nationally recognized STEM initiative, science, technology, engineering, and math, which is really helping our young people be prepared for the jobs of today and the jobs of tomorrow. They're growing three times faster than non-related jobs, and that's how we're going to remain competitive and innovative as a state. And so I'm proud of what we've been able to do, especially during some tough budget times. You know, it was a Democratic-controlled governor and Democratic-controlled legislature that actually cut K-12 education 10% across the board cut, but not only K-12 education, higher education, public health, public safety, 10% across the board cut. I didn't cut K-12 education. I held them harmless in two really tough budget cycles. We did not. We put more money in every year to make sure that we're investing in our greatest asset, our children.
So you would say so far adequately funded?
You know, we're always going to try to do more, but I have to work with the revenue that I'm given. I have to balance the budget. I can't print money like they can in Washington, D.C. I have to have a balanced budget. And I made it a priority. I think we demonstrated that over the 2 years and in really tough budget times. We increased funding, and we didn't cut K-12 education, so I think that's really important.
Last week, the Revenue Estimating Conference put out a larger number than expected as far as the surplus, $127 million. How did the numbers get so far off? What do your folks say, and what do you point to as reasons why that would be so far off?
Well, I'm excited that, again, the budget is balanced. Our cash reserves, our savings account, the cash reserves and the Economic Emergency Fund are full. And we have more money than we did when I took office in 2011. So I think it's a reflection of an economy that's growing. It's a reflection of tax cuts. It's a reflection of wages. Iowans are seeing more money in their pockets. For the last three quarters straight, Iowans have seen an increase in incomes. Last quarter of 2017, 4.5%. First quarter of 18, 5%. And then the second quarter of 2018, a 5.1% increase. And I think it's sixth or seventh in the country. So, you know, that's something that we should be proud of. We had a lot of variables as we went into this last budgeting cycle. First of all, there had been the federal tax cuts that had been passed, which has been a great stimulant for not only Iowans, but and virtually every Iowan is seeing more money in their paychecks, but also for businesses, and that we're seeing them reinvest in Iowans and in their companies. But we needed to kind of watch that to see how that would impact Iowa's revenues by some of the choices that they were making. In addition to that, we were watching trade really closely. And so we were unsure on how that would impact revenues for the state of Iowa. But so that's what I'm sure the Revenue Estimating Conference was taking into account. I mean, they're the ones that set the numbers. But I think we're seeing a reflection of those numbers, again, in the economy that's growing, Iowans seeing more money in their pockets. And it's, I think, tax cuts and reductions and regulations and, you know, an optimism that we're seeing in the state is having an impact.
Does it maybe signal that the surplus would indicate that maybe there are certain government agencies or services that have been underfunded and that money can be allocated differently?
Well, we're going to have an opportunity to go into the next legislative session, hopefully in a better place than we've been the last two. And with the phenomenal trade news that we've gotten this week, I mean, that is really going to help things also. Right now, our biggest barrier to economic growth is workforce. There's not a day go by that I don't talk to business leaders across this state that says business has never been better, projecting growth, optimistic about the future. We just need workforce. And so we're working on it every single day, as I indicated earlier. But once we get that need met, this economy will continue to explode. I think the Iowa Business Council just released their quarterly report, and they said this is the best economy in 10 years. Three quarters of them are expecting growth in the next 6 months. Half of them said they would be hiring additional workforce. And I think it was 60% said that they would be investing capital. So that's all really, really, really good news for Iowans.
Going back to education, the University of Iowa slipped in the U.S. News World Report down a few rankings. President Bruce Harreld had said something about state government needing to step up more and provide more services to help further student achievement. Do you agree that the state needs to step up and provide more support to keep Iowa's Regents universities from slipping in the rankings?
Well, we appreciate our Regents. They are some of the best in the country, and they've been a partner in really growing our economy, especially with the research parks and how we're bringing business and industry to the campuses so that we can, you know, help. It's a win-win, not only for the businesses, it helps provide them with a workforce, but also we get to, you know, partner with the talent and the expertise that our universities provide. We're working hard every single day to make sure that kids are prepared when they go into higher education. I was proud to be part of an administration that actually held college tuition. We froze it for 2.5 years. And we're making sure that kids, you know, we are the number one state for dual enrollment, which means kids are taking community college classes while they're in high school. And that's really helping them be more prepared and more likely to succeed as they transition into possibly a university or a four-year degree. So, you know, we had some tough budget times. Again, it was the Democratic-controlled governor and Democratic-controlled legislature that actually cut our universities, a 10% across the board cut. What we had to do, unfortunately, was a little under 2, and it was just a reflection of some really tough budget times. Every single agency has been experiencing the same thing. They have access to other resources, federal foundation dollars, and our K-12 schools didn't. And so we felt it was really important to hold K-12 harmless, and the rest of us had to look for opportunities to implement some efficiencies, and I think we all had a role to play in that. But as we grow the economy, you know, we're hoping we can do more.
Have you heard much from college students saying that it's more and more challenging to get paying those student bills? Are you hearing from students that are having a hard time even affording to get into college?
Well, that's why we're doing everything we can to keep the cost down, and that's why dual enrollment is, we should be singing and encouraging more students to do that, and we are. There's not another state in the country that is taking dual enrollment community college classes while they're in high school, and that's helping keep the cost of higher education down. The other thing that we're doing is with the STEM initiative and with Future Ready Iowa, we're really working with students to help expose them to all the different opportunities that exist within Iowa and helping them find where they have a passion and helping them know that there are a lot of different paths to great careers. And you know what? Sometimes that's a certification. Sometimes that's an apprenticeship program. Sometimes that's a 2-year or 4-year degree. But let's find out where their interest is at, and then let's support that. And a lot of kids, even like an apprenticeship program that we're doing with the STEM Best, where we're partnering with community colleges, high schools, in a business. Students are going right out of high school into a business. They're making great wages, benefits. They can actually earn some income while they're in high school. And the thing is, a lot of the kids that are doing that, they continue to advance in their career. Some of them are going on and becoming an engineer at one of our universities. So I think it's a great opportunity for kids to really, that's the time they should be testing and finding out where their passion is at. And that will help keep the cost of higher education down too, because they're going to be doing what they want to do and focused on what fits them.
One of the big issues during this campaign has been the privatization of Medicaid.
Yes.
The director, Mike Randall of Medicaid, recently pointed to a graph in a meeting showing per member cost had been increasing faster than before it was under privatization. There were some Iowa poll results showing that support for Medicaid privatization is slipping among likely voters. Does that concern you?
Well, what I'm really focused on and what my priority for managed care is to be able to look parents in the eyes and assure them that there will be a sustainable program in place that will be able to take care of their loved one, not only today, but tomorrow and 10 years from now. And that wasn't the case with the old system. It absolutely was not sustainable, and that's why we transitioned to managed care 2 years ago, and it's why 39 other states have done the same thing, and virtually all of them will move in that direction. So I'm focused on making sure that I have a sustainable program. But it became very clear as I was traveling the state before I was sworn in as governor that there were problems with the system, and it hadn't been rolled out properly. And I admitted that, and I have spent the last 16 months working every day to sustain this program, to stabilize and sustain it. I brought in new leadership, Director Foxhoven. I asked him to, as a fresh set of eyes, take a look at this and tell me if this is the direction we need to go or we need to do something different. He said, we need to stay with managed care. We need to make some changes. I brought in a new actuary so that both sides, all stakeholders, had confidence in the rates that were being certified. We brought in a new Medicaid director with Director Randall. I have another managed care provider that will be coming on soon. We're rolling him in slowly so they're prepared, and we're doing that right this time. And we put the money that was required into the system to sustain it. And why I feel comfortable about the money that we're putting into it when we did the renegotiation with the MCOs is because the actuary, first of all, that was their recommendation. That's an independent firm. And this time, we actually had 2 years of experience to base those numbers on instead of just projections. We had 150,000 individuals that had moved into the system with the health and wellness program. So it's actually based on experience. We know that's what the cost is going to be. In addition to that, it covers the comprehensive mental health care reform that we passed last year. Most importantly, this is the other thing I want providers to know. I am not going to continue to travel around this state and have doctors and physicians and nursing home providers that are providing these services for Iowans not get paid in a timely manner. I am not going to accept that. They know that. We've put financial penalties in the contract if they don't pay in a timely manner. We have oversight that the legislature passed last year if they don't pay in a timely manner. Now, sometimes there's reasons that they shouldn't, and we're going to continue to monitor that. And if I continue to see problems with that, we will put some more restrictions on it. We all have a role to play in taking care of our most vulnerable Iowans, and we're going to make sure that that's done. And here's the other thing. We have the lowest unemployment. We have jobs looking for people. Yet we have 680,000 people that are in Medicaid. So I'm willing to work with these Iowans to provide them the support system, to help them get a skill, to match them up with a job, and to get them off Medicaid. And to help them, we can really focus those dollars on the individuals that need it.
How much of the population is able to do that, that are on Medicaid? I mean, I know a lot of times we talk about a very vulnerable population and disabled.
I don't know what percentage, but, you know, whatever it is, you know, we want to work with them and help them. They've had some, you know, life is tough. They've had some significant challenges. I get that. I've had some significant challenges in my life, and I believe that everybody deserves a second chance. And we're going to try it with a carrot. We're going to try working with them, giving them the support system that they need, helping provide some funding and help get them, you know, the skills for a great job so that they can take care of themselves and their family. And that starts to take care of a lot of things. The other thing I want to just say really quick is that, again, 680,000 Iowans are covered under Medicaid. And for the bulk of those Iowans, they are so grateful for that service because it is complex and it is hard to maneuver in. So they are so appreciative of somebody helping to manage that, to helping make sure that they get an annual physical, that they're taking their medication, that we're identifying chronic illness sooner rather than later, cancer. I mean, so there are good things happening with that system. Is it perfect? No. I've admitted that, and I've worked the last 16 months to really stabilize it, turn it around, and help meet the needs of Iowans.
Staying on healthcare, recently the state's high court found Iowa Constitution strongly supports abortion rights, which makes it more likely that the fetal heartbeat bill might not hold up in court. Is a judicial nominee's position on abortion a major factor in your decisions for those kind of nominees?
I never asked that in the interview. I'm interested in a judge that will apply the law and not create it. That is a strict constitutionalist, and that's what I'm interested in.
And finally, the president is going to be in Iowa, or it's looking like he's going to be
here
next week.
I don't know if it's confirmed yet,
but we're seeing reports of that coming out. You've said in the past to me that the president's administration has been very open to talking with your administration. Are you planning on being with the president if he's here again? And are you, I mean, if you were to give the president a grade so far, what would you give him?
Well, look what we're seeing in Iowa. First of all, I appreciate the access. I've never seen anything like that. And as I meet with governors, Republican and Democrat, they'll tell you the same thing. Never have we seen the amount of access. And they ask, you know, what can we do to work with the states? Can we get more to the states and let them make the decisions through block grants or whatever that may look like?
And do you feel like you're being heard?
Oh, yeah, I do feel like I'm being heard. I have the opportunity, and every time I get in front of them, I'm speaking on behalf of Iowans. I'm advocating for Iowans, whether that's farming or manufacturers or the workforce. I mean, I've had the opportunity to serve on a couple of his boards, especially with the apprenticeship and with the workforce needs, not only in Iowa, but across this country. We're not unique. Every single governor is struggling with workforce, which means this entire economy in America is growing, and we're seeing great things happen because of that. When you reduce taxes and regulations and you really create an environment where companies and business owners feel optimistic about investing, that's good. And we're seeing that happen. We're seeing wages rise. We're seeing they're doing where they give $1,000 or whatever. What am I trying to? I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, bonuses. Bonuses. And investing in their company. So I think, you know, that's all positive, and I think we're going to continue to see that. We're seeing things happening with trade. He stuck his ground, and we're really seeing, I think, some bilateral agreements and the USMCA, the new agreement with Mexico and Canada is huge because that's our number one and two trading partner. And so it's really important to Iowa that we've got that done and we're moving forward. So I look forward to, you know, I meet with any of the presidents that come to Iowa. As a governor, I think that's absolutely what you should do. I look forward to him coming, and I'm hoping he's got another good announcement for Iowans.
So if you were to give him a grade, what would you give him?
Oh, I don't know. For the economy, I think he's done really well. I really do. And I think in Iowa specifically, I think, and then we've added to that with the historic tax cut that we did last year with, you know, to help Iowans keep more of their hard-earned money. For heaven's sakes, I understand what everyday Iowans are going through to make ends meet. I Kevin and I had to do that when we were raising our three daughters. So I know that it's important that, you know, we let you keep more of your hard-earned money. It's gas. It's groceries. It's necessities. I mean, it makes a difference. It's not insignificant. So we've been able to kind of build on what they did at the federal level and excited about that. So as far as the economy goes, I think, you know, B+A.
Other aspects that, I mean, Senator Joni Ernst has said in the past, you know, I wish he'd just stop tweeting or put the phone down.
Well, I think we all would, you know, say that that's probably would be helpful. I don't think there's anybody that wouldn't. Honestly, everybody needs to put their phone down. Everybody needs to put the phone down and let's start talking. We've lost the ability to have a conversation, you know, not only about things that we agree on, but things that we don't. And I have always been a big believer in that. I'm proud that almost every single piece of legislation that I supported this last legislative session passed with bipartisan support, and three major initiatives passed with unanimous support. Unanimous. Every single legislator, Republican and Democrat, voted for that. And I think that's what leaders do. They bring people together. They encourage the conversation and the dialogue. They encourage both teams to find common ground, to move the ball forward, not take your ball and go home. And I've done it. I've done it my entire life. And it's important. And it's missing in today's society. It is sad.
All right. Governor Kim Reynolds, thank you.
Thank you.